Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. Today, we remember the singer and songwriter Bill Withers, who died on Friday. During this period of social distancing when our WNYC studios are closed, we've been going through our archives, and this visit with Bill Withers took place back in 2010.
We know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It seems only fitting that our Sing Out series on singers be followed by one of the great voices in pop music. When Bill Withers released his debut album in 1971, he was 32 years old. He had served in the Navy for 9 years, and he was working on an assembly line, building toilets for jumbo jets. Suddenly, he found himself on the pop charts with hits like Ain't No Sunshine and this song, Lean On Me. A new documentary called Still Bill recounts his career, his childhood in a West Village coal mining town, and his departure from the music industry in the mid-1980s. Here to talk about the film is Bill Withers. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, bud. I liked how you said that, a West Village coal mining
town. Did I say
town.
West Village?
Somebody will think that's in New York. No,
West
I kind of liked it the way you said it. We'll go to West Village.
Nah, I got to get my head out of New York City.
Nah, they got some coal mines hidden over there. You just betrayed a secret. West Virginia.
And one of the neat things about this film is you going back to West Virginia. There is a kind of, you know, a sense of coming back in the film Still Bill. What about the big question of coming back to a business that you chose to leave 25 years ago? Why did you make that decision initially?
I didn't leave the business. I just didn't make any records or go on tour and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, maybe it's just my personality. I was in the Navy 9 years. I didn't stay in there. So I didn't think of, you know, this was an interesting thing to do, but I didn't think of, like, maybe this was the only thing I was going to do for the rest of my life. I'm a songwriter, so I have songs out. George Benson has a song of mine on his new album. Jimmy Buffett, I had two songs on Jimmy Buffett's country album. He called me up. He says, "Hey, Bill, I'm getting ready to make a country album. I need a couple songs." I said, "Well, what'd you call me for?" He said, "Well, you're about as country as anybody I know." So I had great fun doing that, you know. So
it must be nice to get phone calls from people who know you're still alive, as opposed to the story of Jesse Jackson calling up because he thought you were dead.
Thought I was dead, yeah. Oh, my wife gets those calls all the time. In fact, I've actually had people personally tell me that I was dead.
So you mean come
say,
up
you're
to
not,
you
with... You're not Bill Withers. Bill Withers is dead.
who are these people?
People,
just
you know,
fans?
I mean, there's no particular visual image of me, I guess. People know those songs, but a lot of people, they don't know who did those songs, you know. I was in Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles one Sunday, and church had just about let out, and there were these church ladies sitting in this booth next to me, and they mentioned something about some Bill Withers song. So I thought I would have some fun. So I raised up and stuck my head over the booth. I said, "Well, you know, I'm Bill Withers. And the lady says, no, you ain't. You're too light-skinned to be Bill Withers. So even, you know, so I can't even convince anybody. So that's, you know, that's fun for me. I don't mind that.
Was it fun for you to have a film crew following you around for what turned out to be like 2 years of your life?
It's not fun to have anybody following you around for 2 years of your life.
And yet you agreed to
it. If I was to choose somebody to follow me around for 2 years of my life, it wouldn't be two guys with a camera. I can guarantee you that. No, we had an interesting time. This started off, they came, they had been coming to my wife for years.
I should mention your wife runs your publishing business. And
yeah, so finally I agreed to meet with them, and they said, there was going to be this tribute concert in Brooklyn where people were going to perform songs that I had written. So I thought, like, well, that looks like a low anxiety thing. Then they came to the house to interview me, and they just kept coming back and coming back. And it kind of grew into them following me around for 2 years.
And the result is this film called Still Bill. And there are lots of interesting moments in the film. One of them is you talking about the fame game, essentially.
Yeah.
Let's listen. This is from the film, Still Bill.
I became very interested. Can I still stay in this business and be effective and make a living and not have to play this fame game? I wasn't any good at it. The fame game was kicking my ass.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us.
Just the two of us, Bill Withers with Grover Washington Jr. from 1981. Now, that was you, Bill, on American Bandstand. I heard the applause at the beginning of that clip there. What was it about the fame game? I mean, you were not some callow 18-year-old kid when you got into the business. You'd been in the military. You were 32 years old. You'd had life experience.
Yeah, and I was socialized as a... As an aircraft mechanic, I was in the Navy. You know, I enjoyed just being a regular person. I didn't need, my senses didn't need to be heightened quite that much in order for me to feel like I was valid, you know. It just depends on your personality. I might wake up next Thursday and think, like, man, I'm really bored. I feel like showing off. I got to get out here and really get some attention. And then I would pursue that. So I don't think we make those kind of decisions. If you have a whole room full of children, some of them are very gregarious and they're trying to get everybody to look at them. Another one sitting over in the corner sucking his thumb. People come in a lot of different forms. And there are certain people, God bless them, who are naturally suited for that. And they like these reality shows. Like one of my favorites is The Kardashians. They don't mind, living in a glass house, so to speak.
I wish you could see into the control room because every jaw in there just dropped. Bill Withers, fan of The Kardashians.
No, but that wouldn't work for me. You know, I like to watch football games, but I have never woke up, not one day of my life, and thought, like, man, I'd like to go out here and smash into a 300-pound guy. So there are things you watch that you necessarily don't want to do. So it's, there's no issue with it. It's just whatever your personality is. I'm 71 now, and I like being... I like being that. And in my 71-year-old form, among other urges that might diminish, my need to show off diminished over time. You mentioned that you guys were just talking about the diminishing and the changes in things.
Right,
you
know? the voice.
Yeah,
as it ages.
The difference between the 22-year-old voice and the 69-year-old voice. Tony Bennett has really held up at that, you know, amazingly. And I think a lot of that has to do with the style of music that he's doing, you know. So things change, you know. Certain things are age appropriate. You know, when you're 35, there's a certain thing. I mean, you're 35 and you're standing there. You know what I mean? A lot of that is hormonal. You see, there's this exchange between you and the women that are in there. And there's this thing and there's this energy that's going back and forth and stuff. And it's fun and it cues you up. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
at this age, man, I really, you know, I haven't really been aware recently of anybody openly lusting after me, you know. And, you know, I've learned, no. But
you miss that, Bill?
You understand what?
Oh, yes.
Some of,
I think
you,
I get
you,
it.
you miss. So what I'm saying is the exchange is different, you know. And at a certain age, you want to go somewhere so bad until you just hitchhike just to go somewhere. And then you get to the point, I just can't see myself being shipped all over the country like a parcel post package. And catching planes every day and worrying about just about the time that I used to play.
So
I'm going to sleep. You know.
So that life was great for the 32-year-old Bill Withers, not so much for the 71-year-old. But let's go back to that 32-year-old guy who just burst on the scene out of nowhere and did it with this song.
No home anytime she goes away. And I know, hey, I oughta leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away.
Ain't No Sunshine from the 1971 album Just As I Am by my guest Bill Withers. Bill, last August, Booker T. Jones was on the show here in the studio.
Oh, I love Booker T.
And we asked him about producing that album, the album that we were just listening to. And, you know, he was talking about how you were really humble, really new to the music business. Listen to what this is Booker T. Jones talking about the Bill Withers record.
He had come out to my ranch and he had sang 14, 18 songs and, you know, and then just met me at the recording studio later. And he walks up to me, and we have the band, everybody ready to go in there. He says, Booker, who's going to sing these songs?
What?
Yeah, this is what he said to me. And I said, you are, Bill. He was looking out, and then he didn't see a singer out there. I said, you are, Bill. And he just picked up his guitar and walked out there, and he sang, and that's the way it went. I remember that so well.
Do you remember that? Is that how it happened, that first record?
I love that story he told. That's a wonderful story. And I love Booker.
There's a butt coming, isn't there?
But, you know, stories about things like that are usually, okay. You know, people always ask people about songs. Well, when you wrote that song, what do you think? Most of those stories are made up after the song was written. Because during the process, you just think, let's see now, what rhymes with heart? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny. I laugh every time somebody tells me that story. But I was signed to a label as a singer, and the task was to make an album with me singing songs that I've written. But I love that story. I like that better than the
The story is better than the history.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the whole purpose was to record me as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
I was signed as a singer.
Well, it all...
Okay, let me... how many times have you seen somebody record an album and then get signed as a singer? It doesn't work that way.
Well, these days, that seems to be how it works, but not back in the day.
No, just mechanically. You find me a company that will record you first and then sign you.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
So in order to go in there, you have to be signed as a singer. But I'm telling you, I love that story. And if I was probably on another day, I would just let that go.
Okay.
Or you talk about age-appropriate stuff. If I was like 64 was probably the cutoff point to where I would have let that story go. I can't wait to see Booker. I'm going to laugh with him about that. And you know what? But, see, Booker's not, you know, he's not a kid anymore either. And, you know, this thing that's going around, this dementia thing that's going around, sometimes it sneaks up on people. And probably for him, that is his factual memory.
Hmm.
So I'm worried about Booker. Do you, you know, we may have to send him a little ginkgo biloba.
Little ginkgo biloba. That's the stuff for, that's supposed to help memory.
No, but does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he has a story that he's told often enough that it has become part of
his
story.
I like that story. And this is the last time that I'm going to clear that up.
Okay.
I just want you to know that. Okay. And it's probably, you probably tricked me into that because you had that look on your face.
You're a guy who's been known
to... You're a very manipulative guy.
How quickly you have me pegged.
Shameful. Now,
you have punked a few people in your day. The USC Trojan football team, for one. Group of upstanding young men who wanted nothing more than to meet the man who wrote the song Lean On Me that they all sang, and you come in and you tell them about some shower fungus
they thought I was an NCAA official, and really I told them that I had been brought back out of retirement because I was one of the few people that had this disease. They didn't tell but the disease was osteomastitis. Because, you know, the older you get, the more physicals you get, and you start picking up on this similar doctor thing. So it's nothing real, but osteo is like bones.
Right.
So this was a fungus that not only attacked the skin, but the bones. And my daughter, I says, okay, Corey, you got to go help me out here because I need an assistance. But you're going to have to be spontaneous. And I thought she did a good job. She told them that they were probably going to have to wear high heel, high top shower shoes. But that happened because the coach called me up.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah. So one of the, you know how they make them get up and sing the freshman.
Yeah, it's like
rookies
a hazing.
So he started singing that song and they all joined in. So the coach said, hey, would you come out here and speak with him?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I don't know how to give that, you know, football talk, you know, is you got to be motivated to stick to, you know, all those cliches. I said, if I can punk him, I'll come out there. So.
And so that has been captured on tape by ESPN, still out there on YouTube. Well, you can watch my guest Bill Withers having a laugh at the expense of the USC football team. Coming back to the film, still, Bill, you know, one of the most moving scenes in that film is where you're here in New York with the organization that deals with the kids.
Oh, the Our Time. Oh, I love that. Our Time Theater, yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, one of the things that comes out in the film is that you had a severe stutter as a kid and as a young adult. Did singing help you overcome that?
No. No, it doesn't have a... There was a country and western star some years ago named Mel Tillis,
right,
who kept his stutter. The two are not connected. People who stutter nobody stutters when they sing. If you go to see the Our Time Kids, it's a theater group. Mm-hmm. They don't stutter when they sing, and they don't stutter when they do rap music.
It's really interesting.
So how
did you overcome it?
My personal way, I was a chronic stutterer until I was about 30. And I figured out that it was a fear of the perception of the listener. So I went through a process to where I had to learn to raise my opinion of myself and lower my opinion of other people into some kind of equitable zone. And then, my stutter was from fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that has something. As I said earlier today to somebody, if I was going to write anything longer than 3 or 4 minutes, it didn't have to rhyme, you know, in long form. I'd write about my old friend fear. Mm-hmm. Because fear disguises itself as a lot of things. Anger, resentment, jealousy is fear. So there are a lot of things that can be addressed. First of all, you have to surrender to it and admit that. You know, it's not in everybody's nature to admit fear. You know, it's obvious fear. You know?
Right,
but,
right.
But in
terms of a stutter, this was your way of getting into it.
And so I think that fear permeates so many different areas of people's activity and psyche and sense of well-being. And a guy walk around with a gun in his pocket, that's fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, I'm afraid we're out of time, but... The film is a remarkable documentary. It's called Still Bill. Let me just ask you real quick. We have just a couple of seconds. Will you be coming back? I mean, will you? You have the studio at home. Will there be a new Bill Withers record at some point?
You never know.
Mysterious till the end. Bill Withers, my guest on Soundcheck. Really a pleasure to have you with us today.
Yeah.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.